is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Saint Leo III. Listen to that rubble. Hail, Leo. Disgraceful. Your illustrious uncle brought grace and dignity to the pontifical office. Now to be succeeded by this peasant priest of St. Susanna's.
Adrian died only yesterday. His body barely cold. And this common, untitled priest takes his place. Why the haste? Why didn't the electors take their time and select a man worthy of the holy office?
I don't know, Campulus, and yet I'm reliably informed. He was the unanimous choice.
Paschalus. The nobles will never support him.
He's in office. There's not much we can do about it. There's nothing anyone can do about it.
The office will be all he has. There are those of us who will see to it he won't be able to carry out his pontifical duties.
How?
He needs the support of Charlemagne. We must convince him Leo's unfit to rule.
You heard the cheers. He's popular with the people. That will make problems.
The people are fickle and ignorant. If the nobles withhold contributions to the papacy, he won't be able to distribute charity. When the poor no longer have their arms, they'll turn on him.
What do you want me to do?
Here's a list of nobles who feel as we do. Have them meet at my palace tonight, and we'll decide on a course of action.
This letter will be addressed to Charlemagne, King of the Franks. Greet him thus. Beloved friend and defender of Christ, this day I was consecrated and enthroned as Pope Leo III. Ever grateful to you and to your illustrious father for the support rendered to the papacy, I, as my first act in office, send you my pledge of loyalty. To let you know you are always more than welcome in Rome, I send the flag bearing the arms of the city and the keys to the sepulcher of St. Peter.
How like Leo to fawn and curry favor? To send a letter to Charlemagne, pledging loyalty. Along with it, he sent the keys to the sepulcher of St. Peter and the flag of Rome. He demeans his holy office.
Charlemagne knows how to make use of the Pope. He sent a large sum of gold for charitable purposes and promises more land at the expense of the Lombard.
That is bad. Leo won't miss our contributions with support from Charlemagne.
Can an advantage be made out of Charlemagne's letter to the Pope? There was an insult in it, I would think.
What did the king write?
He thanked Leo and then went on to write he hoped Leo would rule wisely, justly, and here's the subtle touch, piously.
Piously?
That's the letter.
You know this for sure?
It came from the official who pens the pontiff's correspondence. What arrogance! Advising the Holy Father to be pious in his office.
My uncle would have had no need for such advice. Each day sees this man more unfit. There must be some way to silence him, to remove him from his office.
You wouldn't kill him?
No. Only make it impossible for him to carry out his pontifical duties. The office would be declared vacant, and there wouldn't be a hasty election this time. We would see to it. Candidate of noble birth was chosen.
But Charlemagne has taken it upon himself to be the protector of Christianity and the papacy. He might intervene.
Suppose rumors of gross immorality were to reach Charlemagne. This Leo is a very immoral man.
I see.
Now, suppose the influential and noble families of Rome, inspired by a high sense of duty and respect for the Holy See, make it impossible for Leo to speak for the Christian world.
Should we notify Charlemagne of this immorality?
Certainly not. We act first, let the news reach him through others. We want it to appear that we acted out of an outraged sense of decency because of an intolerable situation.
Confront Charlemagne with the accomplished fact.
Exactly.
When will this be done?
It'll take time to work out the details. We must catch the Pope outside his palace.
He will lead the procession on St. Martin's Day.
A good time and place. He will ride by the Church of St. Sylvester. That gives us the room we need, unhampered by the crowd. I'll be ready by then. Yes, St. Martin's Day it is. Ready, Pascalus?
Yes. Our men will rush out with drawn swords and scatter the people. Two men will drag Leo from his horse. Others are scattered about to shout out Leo's wickedness.
The cutthroats from Byzantium know they must work fast.
Well, they know. But don't worry, they're skilled men, and they have no love for the Pope.
Give the signal, then do all you can to cause confusion. Ready?
Ready.
Now, down with Leo!
Run! Run for your lives!
Down with Leo!
Down with Leo!
Down with Leo!
What would you have of me?
This is for you!
Help!
Immoral, wicked man!
Everything went as planned. You saw how the crowd scattered.
Where's Leo?
He fled to Spoleto.
We don't know if those men did their work.
They swear they did. Leo was seen with blood streaming from his mouth.
Send someone to Spoleto at once.
I've already done so with orders to report back on the Pope's condition.
I hope it's not too late. Leo will undoubtedly flee to Charlemagne.
If he's in condition to travel. Besides, if our cutthroats did their work, what can he tell Charlemagne?
You fool! He can still write, can't he?
My liege, I was leading the St. Martin's Day procession. Suddenly I was attacked and thrown to the ground. Two men fell upon me before I could gather my senses. While one tried to gouge out my eyes, the other was prying open my jaws to cut out my tongue. My mouth was cut, as you can see.
What prevented them from accomplishing the deed?
The crowd that had scattered in fright returned. The assailants fled.
You know the reason for the attack?
I am at a loss to explain.
Do you know who instigated it?
I cannot say for sure, but I know the nephews of Pope Adrian are extremely bitter that one of a noble family was not elected in my place. However, I cannot bring myself to think they dare or are so evil as to attack me.
I'd not be so sure.
Surely you don't think that...
Jealousy and ambition will stop at nothing. These men want to be rid of you. I'm surprised they didn't kill you outright rather than try to mutilate you.
I just can't believe it.
I have a letter here. It's signed by one Campulus.
Pope Adrian's older nephew.
He deplores the attack upon your person, saying that no matter what crimes you've committed...
Crimes? He speaks of crimes?
Yes. He goes on to say that the young nobles were carried away and overzealous by their dismay and repugnance that the holy office should be held by one who has been criminally immoral and who has committed perjury.
Immoral? Perjury, my liege, what can they be thinking of?
Those are the accusations.
And what is the proof? Where is the proof?
That's what I have to find out. I ask you to return to Rome.
This time they may kill me.
I'll send an escort and a warning that should anyone harm you, he will answer to me.
And what of these false charges?
It's best you return and face them.
But no man may judge the Holy See. It would be most serious indeed to have a pontiff tried in open court.
It would be far more serious to have the suspicion of impiety hovering over the Holy Father.
But you must know the charges are false.
I'm certain they are, but they have been made and must be disproved. To ignore them would create doubt in the minds of many. This must not and cannot be.
My liege, must a pontiff be tried every time a scandalous charge is voiced? No matter how unfounded or irresponsible.
False accusers should not go unpunished. But before these men can be punished, we must catch them in their falsehoods.
Very well. I shall return to Rome and ask that a commission investigate the charges.
Pascalus, I'm concerned. Charlemagne never sent an answer to our letter.
He sent Leo back. Campulus, suppose we're called upon to prove these charges.
We won't have to prove them.
Why do you say that?
Who can try the Holy Father?
That's right.
You see the advantage of our position? Everyone knows there was an attack against him. And we've spread the rumor he's unworthy to hold office. And people like to believe the worst of those in high office. We must keep these rumors alive. The people will come to despise him as a hypocrite soon enough. See who it is.
Yes, I'll take it.
What is it?
A messenger with a letter for us.
Read it, then.
It's from Leo. On the advice of Charlemagne, he's asking for a commission to investigate the charges made against him. We are ordered to hold ourselves in readiness to appear before the commission.
Let me see that.
Oh, we were fools to write to Charlemagne. Look what we've got ourselves into. I'm going to leave Rome right now.
No, it's the worst thing you could do.
But we'll be called before the commission.
If we go before the commission, confident and sure of ourselves, as if we welcome this opportunity to speak out, we'll create a good impression. You let me do the talking.
Gladly.
Scope of action is limited to the investigation of certain allegations against the Holy Father, Leo III. In no sense is it a trial. His Holiness is not present, nor will he be called. When we've finished with our investigation, a full report will be made to him. Campulus?
Your Eminence?
You have charges of misconduct against Pope Leo III?
I have.
Please state them.
There was an unseemly and irreverent haste upon the death of my illustrious uncle, Pope Adrian, to elect Leo, which gives rise to the suspicion...
Are you charging the election was illegal? Or are you merely commenting on the dispatch with which the chair of St. Peter was filled?
That election took place before my uncle's body was cold.
Answer the question. You charge the election was illegal?
Well, no. But I do
Very
say...
Very well. Since we've established the legality of the election, let us proceed. We have before us a copy of the letter signed by you and delivered to King Charlemagne, to whom the pontiff had fled for protection after the cowardly attack made upon his person at the St. Martin procession.
I deplore that as much as anyone, and had nothing to do with it.
Well, that's not what the commission is investigating. Now, I insist that if you have charges to make against the pontiff, do so, or hold your peace.
I charge the pontiff with criminal immorality and perjury.
I charge you to be specific.
He has consorted with lewd women, concubines, who he pretends are domestic servants of the palace.
You can prove this, of course.
You said this was an investigation, not a trial.
That is correct.
Then I shall produce the women at the trial.
This commission holds the view that no man can judge the Holy See.
That may be sound from your point of view, but it means that a pontiff could do evil while in office with impunity.
Let that point rest for the moment. You make another charge.
I charge the Pope with perjury.
You have proof.
Here again, I wish to withhold it until there's a trial where sworn testimony can be taken.
We've reached an impasse. Charges of a most serious nature have been made against the Holy Father, but the evidence consists of nothing but hearsay and in general terms. The accuser insists that his witnesses remain unnamed at this time. Therefore, it's the opinion of this commission to refer them back to King Charlemagne, who will be in Rome in late November. The commission stands adjourned.
I'm uneasy. With Charlemagne here in Rome, we may find ourselves before him, facing questions to which we have no answers.
There's nothing to worry about.
Charlemagne's unpredictable. If there's
there
a trial...
There won't be a trial.
Oh, I hope you're right. I'm sorry now I ever got mixed up in this affair. If the people find out we are back of all this, they will tear us to pieces.
No one suspects us of it.
If I only knew what Charlemagne...
Look,
will you stop harping
about your worries? Leo wants peace. And would like to forget the matter.
So, all this plotting was useless.
I accomplished what I wanted to before the commission by creating suspicion without having to prove anything.
But the commission referred the matter to Charlemagne, and now he's here. And I don't agree. No one suspects us. Everyone knows how bitter you are against Leo.
I tell you, the matter will be dropped.
How can you be so sure?
I've been told Leo wants it that way. He's willing to forgive and forget.
Your Holiness, I cannot agree with you. The attack against your person should be forgotten. Those who accuse you of immorality must be made to appear and furnish evidence.
My liege, it's unheard of for a pontiff to be put in the position where he must answer charges brought by a layman.
However unprecedented it may be, the charges have to be settled. Your authority as the moral example to the world will be undermined.
I forgive my attackers. They were misguided men who...
Who tried to render the pontiff speechless and sightless. They must be punished so that never again will anyone raise his hand against your person or office.
One must forgive. Even enemies...
You may do so. You're governed by divine law. Human justice cannot afford to be so generous.
That is the tragedy.
Your Holiness, I have a deep interest in the Holy See, and I want to help you. I can't if you bind me with your church rules. Let me handle this matter under the laws which govern my kingdom.
I bow to your experience and wisdom.
Good.
I'll consult with the commission.
Don't. And... commissions take time. Rather, order a synod at which you will be present to face whatever charges there be against you. Invite anyone who accuses you to appear and bring witnesses to support their charges.
Will you be present?
Yes, I shall be there.
It shall be done.
May we come to order, please? Reverend Fathers, this synod assembles at the request of the Holy Father, against whom serious charges have been made. He is here to make answer. I therefore demand any person who has any charge to make that he stand forth and identify himself and speak out. I make a second call. I make a third and last call. Any person who charges Leo III with misconduct, speak now. An invitation was sent to Campulus and Pascalus, nephews of Pope Adrian. Are they present?
No, Your Eminence.
Since there has appeared no accuser, this action shall proceed no further, and let it be recorded that the accusers, for reasons best known to themselves, were unwilling to prosecute. If there be no objection, I shall declare this synod dissolved.
Your Eminence, I would like to make a statement.
Certainly, Your Holiness.
Reverend Fathers, these proceedings have been painful to us all. But even so, I would have preferred that my accusers had appeared so that their allegations could have been disproved. They did not choose to do so. However, I wish to make an answer in the only way now possible, by giving my oath of innocence. I, Leo, Pontiff of the Holy Roman Church, in the presence of God and this assembly, being judged by no man and constrained by none, of my own free will do purge myself of all allegations and charges in your sight.
Campulus and Pascalus are in prison. They have confessed. They arranged this assault against you.
May God have mercy on them.
I have ordered them put to death.
No, no, my liege. Banish them from Rome, but do not shed their blood.
They deserve to die.
Their blood would be on my hands if I were unable to persuade you to be merciful.
Were they merciful to you?
I forgive them. And since the violence was against me, shouldn't it be my right to set their punishment? My liege, in 2 days it will be Christmas. In remembrance of him who was the most merciful of men, grant my request.
As you wish. They shall be banished, never to set foot in Rome during your lifetime.
May God bless you, my liege.
On Christmas Day, I'll come to St. Peter's and kneel with you before the crypt of the saint.
I shall say a special prayer for you.
I have an ambition, Your Holiness.
Yes?
To revive the Roman Empire in Europe. Only it shall be Christian, not pagan, fighting side by side with the Holy See to promote the faith and to defend it against all enemies.
The dream of St. Augustine in his book, The City of God. It's a noble ambition. And how fitting it would be to inaugurate it on Christmas Day. To as many as received him, He gave the power of becoming sons of God to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thanks be to God.
Charles, kneel before the altar. I place upon your head this crown. Let it symbolize the union of temporal and spiritual power.
Thus was inaugurated on Christmas Day, 800 AD, the Holy Roman Empire of the West, which was to endure for 1,000 years. As long as Charlemagne lived, Leo was able to maintain order. With the emperor's death in 814, the Saracens stormed the coasts of Italy, and there was another plot to murder the Pope. Order was eventually restored, but the Pope's health was broken, and he died in 816, after his pontificate of 20 years.